Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning, Harvest. So glad you're here this morning. Looking forward to our service. Our choir will sing for us in just here just a moment. I want to take a moment to welcome you. So glad you're here. We'll take a quick moment to introduce our missionaries. And Brother Jones will be preaching for us this morning again tonight as we close out our missions conference. I want to encourage you, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, you know exactly what you feel the Lord would have you to give. Please put that in the offering plate this morning, and we'll take it up again after the service if you want to hold on a little longer until after the service. And we'll make sure you have a card a little later in the service to do that. Most of you should have had one from last week's bulletin. But if not, we do have more. And remember, this is a commitment you're making between you and the Lord for basically 1 year until the next missions conference. And then we'll do it again every year. We'll have a missions conference. We'll talk about fundraising and monies above our tithe to help support the missionaries that we support around the world. And Lord willing, to take on new missionaries. And I don't want to scare you, but if the Lord tarries his coming and we're here for years to come or a few years to come, I would love for us to be able to give over $100,000 a year to missions. We're not there yet, but maybe we can get halfway there this year. We'll see what the Lord does. So we'll take just a moment to introduce our missionaries, and then we'll talk more about missions and missions giving a little bit later in the service and get those cards. If you know what the Lord would have you to do, we'll take those cards up tonight as well, and maybe the next Sunday if you're still praying about what you feel the Lord would have you to do. But we would like to have everybody participate in that aspect, and I want everyone to participate that's willing to, because I want God's blessings on you as well, as God blesses, as our scriptures tells us, in that area. Brother Davis, why don't you introduce they're out in the nursery. Just give her a minute to see if they happen to come in. Brother Jones, you go first, and then we'll go. Brother Davis, go introduce you and your wife real quick. Amen. We didn't know this, for those who may not have been here last week during the conferences. I didn't know it, but he grew up right down the road. We grew up in near counties, and of course, a little bit of an age difference, so he'd probably been in the nursery when I graduated high school, but still, it's good to have an East Tennessee boy here with the conference. I didn't plan that. It's just the way it fell, as it's been a pleasure to get to know them and talk about our old stomping grounds while we're here this week. But let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then our choir will sing for us. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for the joy of worship. Lord, the joy of just giving back and being grateful for what you've done for us. I pray that you meet with us today. Use the missionaries to encourage us and challenge us. Help us to lift our voices as we worship together this morning. And Lord, may we do everything that we can, Lord, to be obedient and faithful unto you and what you'd have us to do in reference to our giving and our reference to our worship. And Lord, I pray that you speak to the hearts of your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go now and breathe.
I've got a couple announcements we're going to share in just a moment, but first we're going to have Brother Davis come to kind of give us a recap. He presented. We went to Navajo Nation on Wednesday night, and then Thursday night we went over to Utah to a new church plant, and then Friday night we went to Navajo Nation once again. So we were part in Arizona Navajo Nation, New Mexico Navajo Nation, and then today, of course, I've asked Brother Davis to come and give us a little bit of a recap on the church plants, share some of the needs that he has, and then I'll come back for a couple announcements before we go on in the service.
Thank you once again for allowing us to be a part of the missions conference this week. My wife was going to get ready to announce her again, but she had to slip right back out. But we are here with my wife, Abigail, and our daughter, Lillian. We got one more child on the way. We are church planters in the state of Utah. About 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago now, I moved to Utah. I wasn't married at the time, so my wife moved after we got married. But I moved there to start the Open Door Baptist Church in Fillmore, Utah. Fillmore is about a population of about 3,000 people, and when you factor in some of the villages around us, it brings our population up to about 5,000 people that we try to reach with the gospel. But the problem is they're predominantly LDS. About 95% of our city profess to be members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and there's only one other church besides us in our area, and that is a Catholic church. And so they're blinded by religion, but I'm thankful that I have the gospel message that we get to go and share. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we just go there, preach the gospel, evangelize. As we see souls saved, we baptize them, and we begin to disciple them and teach them, just like Matthew 28, 19 and 20 tells us that we are to do. But we are thankful for what God has done for us there. When I moved to Fillmore, I had one man attending faithfully. Now we average about 15 to 20 people on Sunday mornings. We've been able to add Sunday evening and midweek services. We have about 10 coming through that. We do different ministries in the church. We have a jail ministry. We've been able to help in the prisons there in Utah as well. And so we're thankful for all those open doors the Lord has blessed us with. When I first moved, we were meeting in a double wide trailer, and I mentioned a little bit the other night about how God has provided for us. There was a Southern Baptist church that had shut down there, and so God has saw fit for us to be able to move into that property. We had a 3-year lease with the option to buy. The first year, we just had to pay $1 a month for rent. The second year is $100, and we just entered our third year, and that's $500. They agreed to sell that building to us for $200,000 if it would remain a church, and I said, that's exactly what we want it for. And so we agreed a little over 2 years ago now for that, and we've watched God provide for that, just waiting for two more checks to come in the mail, and I'll be able to call the convention and tell them we're ready to pay this thing off and be debt-free. And so we're excited about what God has done for us. So after we get that paid off, we'll begin the remodeling process. Brother Jones has been there, and it really don't need a whole lot of work. We were able to meet in there with no problems, but there are some changes that we need to make. For whatever reason, they thought it was a good idea to have a window into the sanctuary there in our bathroom, and so we want to fill that in. We got some carpet. They had an obsession with candles, and they let wax get all over the carpets. So we're going to have to go in and change out the flooring. So that's just a little bit of the remodeling that we need to do in the church. But we do have a personal need, and it's very outside of my comfort zone to mention personal needs. Matter of fact, they got on to me yesterday because I didn't mention our personal needs when I presented during the meeting on Thursday. But about 2 years ago, we were getting ready to make a trip back east. We do a little bit of traveling still, trying to raise some more support. We moved at about 45%. It might have been a little bit more percentage at that time when I moved because I wasn't married and didn't have a child yet, but we're at about 45% of our support, and so we still travel quite a bit. We were getting ready to make an East Coast trip. It was just going to be the more economical approach because renting a car for a month just cost a crazy amount of money, and so we went to just get some, what we thought was just going to be some general maintenance done on our vehicle. And the mechanic came back and said, if you can afford it, it would be better to just go ahead and get a new vehicle right now. At that time, we definitely could not afford it. We needed to make this trip. So the Lord provided for us to get that problem, the main problem taken care of to get us back on the road. But we do have quite a few miles on that vehicle, over 230,000 miles. And it has, over the last little bit, started causing us a little bit more issues. So we are praying that God could provide a more reliable means of transportation. We've already started looking around a little bit, trying to be a good steward of the money that God provides for us. But as we're a growing family, we have one child, got another on the way, and we don't plan to stop with two. And so we're looking for something with that'll be able to have more space, because we just want to have it as long as God would allow us to have it. So we're looking possibly for a minivan. We've looked for used minivans in our area on the car lots, about $25,000. And so we're looking to try to go some other way to try to get a reliable means of transportation. But help us pray about that, and pray for us while we're there in Fillmore. If you haven't got a prayer card yet, we'd love to be able to get a prayer card. And I do want to convey that my burden is for church planting. Some people go to a church and plant a church, and they intend to stay there and pastor that church. But the burden that God's put on my heart is specifically for church planting. My desire is that one day I'd be able to turn that work over to another man, so I can go into the next town and the next city and do that process over and over again. Utah's a very dark area. There's a lot of spiritual oppression going on there because of the religion. But I would love to see God just turn that state upside down with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, I did twist his arm and tell him to please share some knees while he was here. So they got one child, one on the way. So they're working on building the church one way or the other. Amen. So you pray for the families that continue to grow. A couple quick announcements before we have our next song this morning. On Memorial Day, which is just around the corner, on that Memorial Day Sunday, the 24th, we'll have a special service for Memorial Day. Our children will also be involved from our children's ministry. We'll be here in auditorium cooperating with our Memorial Day service. So that's just around the corner. Don't forget tonight, evening service at 6 o'clock. We'll have some more about missions and our close out our meeting. And I'd like to ask real quick, I'll ask again later in the service, but if you did not bring your card and you need one, and you're ready to fill that out and put it in the offering this morning or at the close of the service, please do so. If you don't have one and you would like one, if you just slip your hand up now, we'll give you one. I know we got some there on the back row. Anyone else that would like to have a card? All right, and we'll take those up again also tonight. Again, if you're still praying about what the Lord would have you to do. Again, do not put your name on it. This is not something we'll go around looking for you to collect. This is as the Lord leads you, and you give as the Lord provides. And, of course, choir practice this afternoon, Michelle, 4:15, correct? Choir practice and, of course, our evening service. For men, our men's Bible study, men's fellowship. Gentlemen, text is Galatians 2:19. I think I texted out, but just to be sure, Galatians 2:19 through verse 21, 2:19, chapter 2, verse 9 through 21. And cross-reference 1 Peter 2:21, 1 Peter 2:21. And we'll talk about the idea of sinless versus sinless. Sinless versus sinless. That's Galatians 2:19 through 21 and 1 Peter 2:21 for our Tuesday morning Bible study. And then, of course, our ladies' prayer and Bible study on Thursday morning at 10 and our midweek service Wednesday night. This midweek service, we'll talk a little bit more about missions, but we're also going to be having a business meeting Wednesday night. Lord willing, we'll be able to vote to take on all of missionaries that we're not supporting, as well as a few others, and we'll take care of that on Wednesday night. So be thinking about that and be here Wednesday night for our midweek service. And of course, don't forget our Bible Prophecy Conference at the end of the month. And then also Singspiration, the last Sunday, the fifth Sunday of every month, we have a Singspiration. There'll be a sign-up list in the back if you'd like to play an instrument or to sing a song, share something with the congregation, then we'll have a fellowship afterwards. Michelle, is that in the foyer already? It is, so if you can sign up for that so we can make arrangements with our practice schedules for folks to be ready. All right, I think that, yes. Yes, after church tonight, if you have time, we'd like to rub shoulders a little longer with our missionaries. We're going to have a fellowship over in the fellowship hall after the evening service. We'll have some food over there and some desserts and coffee if you'd like to join us. And you don't have to eat. You don't have to have something sweet. If you just want to come over and fellowship, have a cup of coffee, whatever you'd like to do, we'd like to encourage you to stick around after the evening service for a time of fellowship, as our missionaries will be leaving on Monday morning. So join us for that. As I mentioned earlier, before we take up our offering real quick, this was written to the tune of "To God Be the Glory." Does anyone recognize some of those mission songs that we've sang over the last few weeks? I know Michelle does. They were written by Dan Truax, who was one of my missions and Bible professors when I was in Bible college. He grew up in China on the mission field as a missionary kid, surrendered to missions, and went to the Sahara Desert among the Muslims and ministered for many, many years. I had the privilege of driving him when he was having surgery because he couldn't see, and he ended up having surgery, and I drove him back and forth for a while until his eyes were cleared up. I took missions classes with him. He's been a real joy to get to know. I've got some of his books on missions as well as the songs, and then we'll use those in the coming years at our missions conferences as he rewrote, emphasizing missions from familiar tunes that we know. And this great man of the Lord, he's in heaven now, but a big influence on my life. And during my college time involving missions. All right, we'll take up our tithes and offerings this morning, as well as an offering if you'd like to give for the missionaries as well. All loose plate will go toward our missionaries both tonight and this morning and tonight, and as well as anything designated to go toward the mission conference expenses. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on the love offering as well as our tithes and offering. Brother Leonard, would you please pray for us?
Father, thank you so much for this glorious day. Father, what a week it's been to be in your house, Father. All of our wonderful missionaries that have been here just proclaiming your goodness, your greatness toward their mission fields, Father, and Father, just the word that's been pronounced, you know, so perfectly in these past 4 or 5 days, Father, it's just been a joy to hear. And Father, it has instilled in us a need to supply our missionaries with all that they need. And Father, we thank you for this honor, this privilege, this blessing we have to take up offerings for the work of these ministries, both here at Harvest Baptist Church and, Father, for all the missionaries that we do support for the great cause of our Lord and Savior. Father, you are worthy, and your Son deserves all that we have, Father, in our hearts. We just thank you, Father, for this privilege and honor we have of taking up these offerings, and we ask that you accept these offerings and tithes, Father. And Father, just bless the giver and the gifts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to ask Brother Davis, Brother Jones, go ahead and go up here and join us here in the middle, if you don't mind. Let's just pray for them as well, as they'll be with us today, and they'll be departing on Monday to travel, Brother Jones, over toward New Mexico, but over toward El Paso section. Brother Davis will be prepared to head back to Utah. His wife is going over to California for a few days first to spend some time with her little sister who's in Bible college, and then she'll be joining her husband. So let's pray for them as you pray for me this morning, and Brother Jones, of course, as he preaches this morning, that God would not only meet their needs, but God would also work and meet our needs through the message this morning as we prepare and strive as a church to do more for Christ in the form of missions and getting the gospel around the world. Let's go before the Lord together in prayer. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, we are so very grateful for the privilege and opportunity, Lord, to come before thy throne. What a privilege it is, as you tell us in your word, to come boldly before the throne of grace. And Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask you to do what only you can do. Father, there are so many needs represented in our church, Father, not just our missionaries that were here this week, the Harrison family, the Ness family, and now still with us, the Jones family and the Davis family, but Father, we have needs as well as a church. We have needs as a congregation, Lord, in our lives, spiritual needs, physical needs, emotional needs. And Father, we just pray that you would bless today, that you would use our preacher this morning, that you'd send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Lord, to provide comfort where it's needed. But Father, that you also provide conviction where it is needed. Father, who's to say there may be someone among us that needs to come to know Christ as their personal Savior? Who's to know there may be someone among us that need to be willing to surrender their life to service and whatever you would have them to do, whether it be right here at Harvest or somewhere else in the world? But Father, we need your help today, and I pray that you'd use Brother Jones, that you'd give him clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech, that you'd use him upon high, fill him with thy spirit afresh and anew, anoint his mind and his lips, Lord, as he speaks this morning. Give us listening ears and an open heart to receive the message, Lord, that we might respond the way you'd have us respond. And then, Father, I pray that you would bless our men here of Harvest. How grateful I am to be called pastor by these men, Lord, as we labor together here to reach Goodyear and Buckeye and the surrounding area with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bless them? Help them to be the men at home that you'd have them to be at work in their community, Father, that you'd use them. Pray that you give them strength, Father, protect their ears, their eyes, Lord, guard their speech, Lord, help them to be glorifying and honoring to you in that which they say and do. Father, we thank you for our ladies here at Harvest. We pray that you would bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, as they strive to be Proverbs 31 women. Lord, use them to be that helpmeet to their husbands, Lord, and here to their church for those that are still single. Lord, just bless them. Father, we thank you for those who labor in the parking lot, Lord, to provide security, those working in our children's ministry and our nursery. We are so grateful for their desire and willing to serve their church family through ministry. Lord, bless them and meet their needs. And then now, Father, once again, we ask that you would do what only you could do this morning with your speaker this morning, your preacher this morning. Help us to listen attentively and respond. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for it all. For we ask in the wonderful, sweet name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Miss Michelle's going to come sing for us this morning before the message, and Brother Jones will come directly right after. It's been such a joy to get to know them again. They were with us last year and again this year in the Davis family. After the service, please make your way back into the back of the auditorium. If you notice, we pushed chairs forward. We made a little room so you can talk to the two missionaries that are left. The other two had to leave to get back to their ministries. Make sure you spend some time with them, talk to them, pick up a prayer card, find out some of their needs so you can pray for them and communicate with them, because we want to be a blessing. And we want to see boys and girls and moms and dads saved in Utah. We want to see a church established there, but not just there, but other places are to need among the Navajos as well. And look forward to when we have our next missionary in, our next mission conference next year, but we will have missionaries through our church, and if the Lord will allow it, we'll have one missionary in, I hope, every month. But sometimes it's hard to get the folks out here all the way out west when there's so many on the East Coast, but we're working on that. Michelle, you come sing for us, please.
Shall I send Christ the Father? Will word, and you have heard that His grace is wondrous and strong. But there are still those who are searching for the giver of life, Christ the King, searching. Is calling, who shall I send? Who shall I send? Christ the Father, and who will go? Who will tell the world of a Savior?
Good to be back. Appreciate you, Pastor, for having us, and appreciate again the kindness of the church, of our Faith Promise Church Planters Conference this year, and it's been my honor to be a part of it, and I appreciate all those that has attended it during the night services, those that could and were able, and I hope that it has been a help to you, and maybe a challenge, and then to again here for the Sunday school hour and looking at John chapter 4, to lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they're white already unto harvest, and that there is a harvest out there, and God has called us, and when He saved us, He didn't take us home. Could have, but He didn't. He saved us and left us here to be that witness for Him, and He told Paul that He would make a witness and a minister, and that word witness means to be a martyr, somebody that's willing to put their life on the line for the cause of Christ, and then to be that servant, and that servant, when he talked about that minister, it was to be a servant, and he was going to be a servant like a deacon, and a deacon is just nothing more than table waiters. That's all they are, and so I pray that God would allow Harvest to be that in this world that we live in, and to be a light out here in Goodyear, Arizona. I don't know how many churches are really associated with the Phoenix, Goodyear, and I'm learning some of the names that are here. I've noticed that every exit is a different community in here in this area. So, but we need more light in this day, and as the world gets darker, you ever notice a light shines brighter, and so please be that beacon in this community, and we've been looking at the aspect of giving to missions. And Wednesday night, we dealt with the aspect of tithing, and that is a biblical thing of how God has tithing that 10%, and it is commanded. It's not a suggestion. Some people take tithing as a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And if you want the blessings of God in your life, it's 10% off the top. That is before taxes. And that comes to the local church. And your tithe, that does not go to missions. That's not how that works. God uses the tithe to supply the need of your local church. That's what pays a light bill. And with 120 degree weather coming, your light bill is going to be quite fancy here real soon. And so that is coming. That's what the tithe does. It pays for the light bill. It pays for the insurance of a church. And if you don't know, insurance for a church is getting more and more expensive. And may I say this, it's getting more and more harder to get. Back where I live, I'm from North Carolina. For those who don't know you, my name is Robert Jones. I'm from North Carolina. The insurance companies are dropping the local churches. And then you can't find nobody to insure the local churches. Don't know why that is. I mean, if you can find anybody to insure it, it's very, very expensive. That's what your tithe goes to, is to pay the insurance. And then, of course, the salary of a pastor and whatever other positions are in the local church. That's what the tithe goes to, is to keep this church, Harvest Baptist, functioning. That's what keeps it going. That is the tithe. Then you have your free will offering. And did you notice this morning you did both? When he passed the offering plate, he says, any loose offering goes to the missionary. That was a free will offering. And that is above your tithe. That is not your tithe. And so that is what that offering is. And you have freely give that. And then the third offering we've been preaching on this week, and we've went over, I think, about all of them, is that we're looking at that of what we call faith promise. Some call it grace given. But is that offering above your tithe, and whatever it is, whatever God puts on your heart, so let him give. That's what the Bible says. And some people say, well, what are we supposed to give? What God laid on your heart. And that's where prayer comes in. And you got to pray about that. It's something that you just don't do half-hearted and say, well, we're just going to put this in, and that's what we'll do. No. You pray about that, and I pray that you have been praying about that. Now, I've been praying for you, that you've been praying about it, and that God would do that. And you say, you've been praying for the church? Yeah, because I want to see this church be blessed beyond measure. And we're going to look at that this morning, the blessings of giving. But that faith promise is what supports your missionary. And the pastor has a number on his heart that he'd like to have. And he says, and he would love to come back and apologize if it's over and above that, saying, oh, me of little faith. Well, you got to have a target to shoot at. And so I think that's great that you have a number. There's nothing wrong with that. And if God goes over that, well, we'll just rejoice in that, because that means that God has more for this church to do. And God can do that. My local church where I attend, at Anchor Baptist Church in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, we're in the Blue Ridge Mountains, we run about 85 people. That is our pretty much our general core group of the church. And my pastor, his desire was always that our faith promise would always be bigger than our general offering. It took him 33 years for that to happen. And now we give, I think, in the realms of about $250,000 a year for faith promise. That's what we give. We've got missionaries all over the world, and from India to Pakistan to the Philippines to Mongolia. We've got missionaries in Israel. We've got missionaries in Africa. We've got missionaries in the Caribbean, all over the Caribbean islands down through there, Puerto Rico. We did have Sea Hope, which was a boat that we had in our missions, and sadly, Brother Pierre has to come off the field because of age. He can't. He was a nuclear pilot for the Navy. He was a high up in, and he sold all that he had, bought a boat, and he sent supplies down into Haiti and the Caribbean islands. And God's used him greatly through the years, and he's just aging out. And to train, he's been praying that God would send him a man to train to take over Sea Hope. and keep that ministry going, but it just doesn't seem that that's what God wants. So we've had Sea Hope, and then we've got missionaries in Venezuela. We've purchased 18 pieces of property in Venezuela when the economy was down, and we've got brand new churches in Venezuela. And so we've got works there. We've got works in South America. We've got works in Mexico. And a church, and we're a given church. We're a mission-minded church. And God has honored that. And I wish I had time to tell you everything that God has done through Anchor just because of missions. And may I say, God is no respecter of person. What God has done at Anchor, and we have people saying, well, I'd like to have my church just like Anchor. That's very kind, and I appreciate that, and I'm glad that there's a blueprint out there that somebody would like to have. But God has your church to be a unique church, and he's got something for you. And God has set Harvest Baptist Church right here in Goodyear, Arizona, for that purpose. And do you know that God could use this church to turn the world upside down? Not only to support missionaries, but also send missionaries out of this local church. I would love to see that. I'd love for the pastor one day to call. We had somebody surrender to go to the mission field. And then you'd have your own missionary going out into the world. So there's no telling what God would do. And again, your tithe, it is commanded of God, 10%. That's the reason he calls it that tenth. And that is off the top. That comes to your local church. Your tithe does not go to missions. It goes to your local church. And then your free will offering is what you take up an offering for somebody's coming through. So we're going to take up a free will offering. That is a free will offering. And then you got your faith promise. And that is what God has laid on your heart. So, and the Bible says, so let him give. And when God does that, make sure you fill out. You say, why do we got to do these? Well, it allows the church to budget for missionaries. That's what it does. And they knows what's coming in. And if you're going to do this and trust the Lord for it, he will do that. And I pray that you will do that. Take your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter number 6 here tonight, or this morning. I'm a half a day off. You're going to have to forgive me. I got up this morning saying, well, it's nighttime. And I think it's the time change. I think it's finally catching up to me. But here, I want to look at a thought here in Luke, chapter number 6 here this morning. And I'm going to look at a thought. It's going to be a little bit unusual, but if you'll bear with me, we'll... And we're going to start here in verse number 32, Luke chapter 6, verse 32. It says this, and can I back up one verse? Well, no, we'll do 32. It says this in verse of Luke 6, 32. Amen. This thing keeps dropping out for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe the battery's going out. You might want to get ready. I don't know. Do you hear it dropping out? Sounds like it's dropping out. I heard it a couple times. Luke 6. And so I think he's going to bring me another one. I guess he don't like my voice. I guess. And if the devil's going to get in something, he's going to get in the sound system. Say amen. 32, it says, for if you love them which love you, have ye. For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies. Do good and lend. Hope for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I want to look at this thought, God being our helper, and I know it's sort of unusual title, but the title's this, Sinners Do the Same. But he gave us three different examples back to back, And I want to look at those three examples, and then I want to get my way down to verse number 38, where it says to give, and he shall give. And I want to look at that, and we got to be careful, because the Bible says sinners, he said, sinners do also. You'll find that three times, sinners do also. God has a much higher standard for the church of things that we're supposed to do. And I want to look at that, God being our helper. Can we pray as I change out this mic? Dear me, Father, again, we sure do love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Lord, we're grateful for your mercy and your grace, your love and kindness. And Lord, how good you've been to us here in these days. And you've been good to us this morning, Lord. You brought us to this place. And Lord, just to not, I think just if we wouldn't stop and say thank you, I think it'd be a great crime and a great tragedy. Now, Lord, I thank you for the good crowd that's here this morning. Lord, I do know that preaching on giving sometimes can be a difficult for some folks. And even I had somebody just a couple weeks ago saying, all you do is ask for money. Lord, we're just doing what's biblical. God, I'm not bringing man's philosophy. God, I'm not bringing man's ideology. Lord, I'm not bringing what's been written in a book by men. But, Lord, we're reading straight from the Holy Writ of God. Out of your precious Bible, your preserved word that is forever settled in heaven. And God, what I've read here today, it's in heaven. And Lord, I thank you for that. So Lord, I'm asking that we have open ears. God, our hearts would be receptive to the word of God. We'll receive it, but not only that, but we'll react correctly. So Lord, I'm asking, would you touch your messenger to bring across clearly what is before us? And Lord, that we would ask that you would touch it and anoint it afresh and anew. We love you and thank you and honor you and give you glory, for we ask it in the name which is above every name, and that's at the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Here in Luke chapter, we read it three different times where he says that sinners do this also. And I want to look at that sinners do the same, but. I do put the word but in there for a reason, because you'll find that he is going to change directions in the middle of this where he gets past the judge not and he's going to say give. And now he'll be talking to the church. Can I say, number one, we see that sinners love. He says here in verse 32, he says, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Can I say it is that agape love? That is that love that really we should love, not expecting anything in return. When you read, I think, 1 Corinthians 13, I believe it is, we call that the charity chapter. Some people call it the love chapter. But when you call it the word the love chapter, I think you're diminishing it a little bit, because it talks about charity suffereth long, charity does this and charity does that. What charity is that you'll love somebody never expecting anything in return. Where we live in an entitlement program in our day. Everybody thinks they're entitled to everything. I was watching a thing the other day about this waiter. She was getting on to people because they weren't tipping her enough. And she got a math thing and she says, this is what the tip is, and then you multiply it by four. That's her philosophy. I have my own philosophy on that. And I don't mind tipping somebody if they do a good job. Say amen. But it's entitlement. Can I say, we live in that day and people are saying, well, if I do this, what do I get in return? If I treat you this way, how are you going to treat me? It is not that way. We can love people, and it's easy to love people here at Harvest Baptist Church, isn't it? Because we know everybody, right? Well, I hope so. I hope y'all love one another. Y'all got quiet right there. Do y'all love everybody? I say it's easy to come in, and I was so excited about pulling in the parking lot the other day. I was excited about seeing folks that I met back in, what was it, September of last year. And people say it's good to have you back, and it's good that you're here. And I want you to know it is good to be here. And it's easy to love people we love. And that's what he's saying here in verse 36. He says, in verse 32, he says, if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? That doesn't take anything to love somebody that you love. He's saying if you do that, what are you looking at getting in return by doing that? And so many people do that. And may I say, sinners love one another. I mean, you go to a ball game and you find folks that are lost. There's people lost everywhere. And you'll find if they're in the right, they like the same thing. They love one another. But if they don't, it's like a Chevy and a Ford kind of conflict.
I'm not a Chevrolet or a Ford man. I do drive a Chevrolet. I do have a Ford. I do have a Nissan. I don't care. Just whatever God gives me, that's what I drive. I'm not loyal to any of them. But boy, you get people that are loyal to Chevrolet, you find them people together, but you have somebody that has a Ford, ooh, it could be on. Can I say it's easy to love one another? But loving, may I say this, but loving the unlovable sometimes more of a challenge, isn't it? God's saying that we need to love the unlovable, and they're everywhere. People that don't have the same way we think or against the way we think, can I say sometimes you'll want to push them away and not love them? That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to love those that are unlovable, because I'm getting ahead of myself. But can I say he was talking about sinners love one another. Not only that, but sinners overlook some things. Look at verse 33. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners do even the same. What he was saying, it's easy to overlook sin because they're your friend. Y'all okay? We're not supposed to overlook sin. God didn't overlook it. Matter of fact, you find everybody that was ever brought to him that had sin in their life, even the woman taken in adultery, he says, where are thine accusers? And she says, none, Lord. She never denied that she wasn't an adulterer, and he dealt with that. God never overlooks sin, and God will never overlook sin. But because we know somebody and they're buddies with us, if they do wrong, we have a tendency to overlook that kind of stuff. He's saying that sinners do that also. And sometimes in our churches, we're apt to overlook things, and knowing that God says not to overlook that. And he says, if you do good to them, and really what he's saying, boy, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Not the way the ministry should be set up. We should have it set up biblically. We're going somewhere. Hang in there. And I say there's that aspect of overlooking, but he says sinners do that. What thank ye? Not only that, but look what he says. He says the lending here. He says if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much gain. In other words, I'll give if I get something back. I'll put interest on this. And be careful in the churches lending money one to another. It was a problem in Nehemiah's day. I don't want to get on to that. I got to be careful. Can I say that you can lend, but I'll give you this, but you got to make sure, you got to know this is going to cost you. This is going to be extra. I'm going to add on to this. And it's easy sometimes to lend, isn't it? I mean, and to give, but may I say sinners do that also. Sometimes we give and we think we're really doing something when in reality we're not doing much. We're doing the same thing sinners do. And so we see that there is that sinner aspect here of verse 32 and 33 and 34. But look at what God says. Look at the supernatural. If we're born again, we need to be different. There's that supernatural activity in a child of God. Watch what God does. He reverses the roles. Watch what he says in verse 35. He says, but love your enemies and do good to and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Can I say, there is that supernatural. We need to line up. God says, now I need you to line up. There's some people that is hard to love, isn't it? Y'all getting quiet on me. You look at the TV, and there's some of those politicians, they're hard to love. I mean, there was I won't say who he was, but there was a president that got voted in my lifetime. And somebody asked me, said, what do you think about that? I said, I pray God saves him. And it shocked them. They said, do what? I said, I'm praying. He's our president. I can't change it. But one thing I can pray for is that God would change his heart. He's anti-God, anti-Israel, completely opposite of what our nation was built upon and founded upon. And people were like, I'm going to get with Brother Jones. He's going to have something mean to say. No, the Bible says love your enemies. And then he says this, not only that, but we need to do good. It's hard to do good to people that don't like you. Right? I was in a restaurant the other day. We were home. It's been quite a while. I guess it's been about 6 months ago. And there's an establishment where I like to go. It's a hole-in-the-wall Mexican restaurant. I love Mexican. But we like to go there because only the locals know it. They got really good Mexican sausage. Ooh, I'm ready to go home. You ready to go home? And we go in there, and the waiter that was waiting on us, I won't go into his background, but he was trying to be something he wasn't. Y'all okay? And my wife looked at me, and she's like, and my two girls are looking at me because they were like, what's Daddy going to do? And this is what I said, we're the light. When he went to go get our drinks, or he went to go get our drinks, I said, we're the light. Because they thought I was going to ask for a different waiter. And I says, we're already here. And I says, we need to show him the gospel. He is lost and undone without God. And I says, and we might be the only light that walks in that door and have a witness to this man. And you never know, God can save him. Most people would have looked down at that. Said, give me another waiter. Give me this. No, you're a light. Love your enemies. Do good to them, that what the Bible says, and do good to them, and then lend, hoping for nothing back. Can I say there has to be that supernatural, that lining up? And by the way, God is not, this ain't a suggestion, this is a commandment. We're supposed to line up, and he says, lend, hoping nothing in return. And I've give people some money, and they say, I'll pay you back. And this is my phrase, don't worry about it. If they give it back, great. If they don't, they're not a thief. Am I all right, preacher? I think I'm okay. Because you can have, and I got burnt by a guy, and it took me 3 years to get over getting burnt by that guy. And when I finally come to the realization that I'm never going to get that back, and I said, God, you're going to have to forgive me for my attitude towards that individual, and Lord, I forgive him for his wrongdoing. And when his name come up, I didn't get red-faced no more. I didn't get mad no more. Can I say, when you lend, you don't hope for anything back. And you say, well, I give him this. No, God's saying, hey, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them, hoping for nothing in return. Can I say there's that aspect that we need to line up as God wants us to line up. And look at what God says. Your reward shall be great. God will pay you back. I found out that God has taken care of my family and I, and we've lent some people some money through the years, knowing I wasn't going to get it back. I knew I wasn't. They didn't have it in the first place. They're not going to have it in the last place. You just know it's gone. But you want to know what? My reward has been great. God has taken care of the Jones family well in all these years. He has helped us in so many other ways. And it's always amazing that I'll get it back. And with interest, sometimes God will pay me back with interest. God says, I know your heart. You did it right. And now great is your reward. And then watch what he also says. I'm trying to get to my verse. And he says this, and ye shall be the children of the highest. And I say, I'm glad that I'm a child of God. I mean, it is a definite distinguishing mark for the church when you treat your enemies like God treats them with love. And oh, by the way, were we not his enemy? Every one of us was the enemy of God. And yet, you know what he called us? His friend. I can't wrap my mind around that. And yet he did good to all of us. He saved us. Wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I deserved hell. I didn't deserve heaven, didn't deserve to be saved, didn't deserve conviction, didn't deserve that November 1998 day, the day I got saved by the grace of God. And may I say, I'm glad that somebody loved me. Amen. And he said, do good to them. And so we see there's that reward. But look at not only that, but look at the likeness in verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. We need to learn how to show mercy in our day. Our world is so full of hate. There's hatred everywhere. And the other day, I don't know what I did wrong to somebody in the car in front of me, but He didn't like what I did, and I still tried to figure out, what did I do? I just got off an exit ramp and onto the interstate and pulled in behind him. Evidently, I was a little too close, but it was a small window. And I got in there, and he didn't like that. Like, what am I going to do, pull over on the shoulder? And he had to tell me how proud he was of me. You know what I did when I went by him? I said, God save him. Lord, I pray that you'd touch his heart. Maybe he's having a bad day. Lord, help him today. Help him. Guide him. Lead him. And be merciful. Can I say what the church needs? Is some mercy in our day. We're lacking mercy. And the love our enemies and those that despitefully use us. Can I say there's that aspect? And even in Psalms 103, think about this. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And why? He said this in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And here it is, who forgiveth all thine iniquity. Aren't you glad that God forgave all your sins? I think we'd probably see more people saved if we had the same attitude that Christ had towards us. We'd have a forgiving heart. But not only that, but look what he says. And forgiveth all thy iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. And here it is, tender mercy. And if God has put mercy on us, you know what he expects out of us? To show mercy to others. Everywhere we go, every people we see, we need to be that merciful individual, not hatred. God is saying be merciful, and we need to have that likeness like God had for us. And he says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And then verse 37, a lot of people pull this out of context, because when you show them their sinful condition, this first thing they say, judge not. They do this back at home a lot. Oh, yeah, you're judging us. No, I'm not. Just showing you in the scriptures some things. Can I say this judgment here, what it's talking about is that we need to have some discernment and perspective to not overreact to something in our situation. In other words, you need to look at both sides and then come up with the right judgment of the situation. Sometimes we'll get a one-sided deal and we'll get judgmental because they're our friends. And then you'll get the other side and you'll stand with them. Can I say there's two sides to every coin, and then there's the middle, which is the truth. He's saying that you got to have truth and have that spiritual discernment, and you got to be careful at overreacting. God says don't overreact to some things. And I think we're guilty of doing that. But yet when somebody has all the facts and all the figures and come up with the truth and they show you the truth, don't tell them that they're judging you. No, they're just being truthful with you. If you're doing things wrong and they say, hey, that's wrong, that's wicked. Fornication is wicked. Having a relationship outside the bonds of marriage, that's wicked. That's sin. That's easy. You're saying, well, you're being judgmental. No, it's just being Bible. There's an aspect to that. And when we come to that, we can sometimes overreact. I was reading about a commercial. I don't watch much TV, but there was a commercial years ago. I don't think I ever saw it. And a man was on his phone, talking on his cell phone, and he said to the person on the other end of the phone, because they were talking about something, he says, you're getting robbed. And he was in a convenience store. Well, two of the clerks of the store overheard those words and didn't realize he was on the phone. And when he was on the phone, they assumed that the man is robbing the store. And when they did, the clerk reacted, squirted the man with pepper spray, slugged him with a baseball bat, and then zapped him with an electric cattle prodder. And all he was on the phone telling his friend, you're getting robbed. Sometimes we overreact, don't we? Another commercial, I never saw this one either, but I think it'd be funny. But there was a man making this dinner, this romantic dinner for his wife. And he was cooking, he had chopped vegetables. And then he also had some tomato sauce simmering on the stove. And they had a white cat. And the white cat jumped up, knocked the tomato sauce over. The Cat jumped, when he did, the cat fell. He fell in tomato sauce, and he had all this tomato sauce all over this cat, and this man had a big knife, and about that time, his wife walked in, saw that all that red sauce on the cat, and the husband with a big old knife thought that she killed the cat, and she was terrified and assumed that the cat had been stabbed. I say we can overreact to some things. God is saying here, judge not. And he's coming through that aspect, and he's showing us how that we're not, and he says, condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. And then he says, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Verse 38 ties into all this, because God says, give. He's saying in this aspect, there's some things that we need to give. What do we need to give? Love. He said, love your enemies. We're to give love. What else are we supposed to give, preacher? Mercy. We're supposed to give mercy to those that treat us wrong. What else are we supposed to give, preacher? Forgiveness. That's what missions is about. We're reaching the unlovable. We're showing mercy to the unkind. And we're forgiving those. And God is saying that you need to give, and it shall be given unto you. And I know we use this for finances, and we are going to deal with the finance aspect of this. But if you're going to give to missions, can I tell you one thing you're going to have? You're going to have some agape love. You're going to be willing to give to missions and never expect anything in return. I travel all over, and I deal with missionaries all over, and I visit a lot of our missionaries that we support. And we got women at Anchor Baptist Missions International. They're our secretaries. And can I tell you what they do? They sit behind the desk all day on Monday through Friday. That's all they do. 40 hours a week plus. They sit behind the desk, and they're processing mission checks. They're processing all the things that go on with missions and special love offerings that missionaries get and all that they do, and they never see the outside. And I wrote one of them the other day. I says, thank you for all that you do. You are making a difference. Can I say, if we're going to give to missions, we got to realize that you may not see the other side of that on this side of eternity. You may not see the final outcome. We got Brother Davis here in Fillmore. If you was to stand on them, stand with him financially, monthly, can I say most of y'all will never see Fillmore, Utah. You'll never see the soul saved. You'll never see the lives change. But if you're going to give to missions, can I say what you need to have in your heart, you better have some agape love that you're willing to love the unlovable. And not only that, but have mercy. And when you're putting your offering in that offering plate, can I tell you what you got to have? Mercy, because you want to see other people receive the mercy of God. And not only that, forgiveness. You remember the day that God forgave you? Can you go back to the place? And I remember that morning. It was a Sunday morning. I wish I'd wrote the date down. I didn't do that. I didn't understand the importance of that. I wished I would have. But I can take you to the place and put you within the time frame. But I remember that day that God gave me mercy. He showed me his love and his forgiveness. And boy, what it put in my heart is I want to see others get the same thing. And God's saying this, that there's some things we need to supply. Because he says, give. Can I say there's that aspect of giving in our day? And if you're struggling financially, it'd be a good verse to put in practice. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor. Why? That ye through his poverty might be rich. Can I say you're wanting, and I'm not talking about financially millionaires, but I'm talking spiritually rich. Can I say I'm a child of the King? I'm joint heirs with Christ. Everything he has, I have. And there's people trying to get the gold of this world. I don't know. I like to watch Gold Rush. I haven't figured that one out. But I like to watch that Gold Rush. And again, I don't like to watch the beginning of it. I got it on Discovery Plus, so I fast forward. I get rid of all the drama and go straight to the end. So I want to see what they dug up. And they get up there and says, this thing is worth $4 million. I'm like, wow. And all of them say the same thing. Go get more, it's not enough. Go get more, it's not enough. This world will never be enough. But can I say what I received in Christ far outreaches any gold that they have in Alaska that they're digging up. And by the way, my God put it there. Matter of fact, we're going to walk on what they're digging and what they got so much of. We're going to walk on that in the New Jerusalem. And what they put high value on, it don't mean much for God up there. Why? Because he put it all there. He knows where every dust of the gold is. He knows every diamond, every jade, every sardis stone. He knows where it all is. The great pearls, he knows. And yet what he has, I have. Can I say there's that aspect of giving? Why? So that they can have that spiritual enrichness. Look at what he says. He says, give and it shall be given you good measure. Can I say, God says, if you'll do the one part, I'll do the rest of this. He says, if you give, I'll give. And he talks about this and he says, give it, and it shall be given unto you. Look at what God says. Now you're going to give. Let me show you what I'm going to give back to you. God just doesn't do something small. And may I say, God's little tablespoon's bigger than your shovel. I don't know why we think that God has a little shovel. No, his tablespoon's bigger than any shovel I'll ever have. And he says he'll give back to you what? Good measure. That word good measure, it has that meaning of the aspect of what means good, excellent, competent, surpassing, honorable. Can I say, you won't reap skimpy from God. God always gives an overabundance, does he not? I mean, we never... So I was talking to a missionary the other day. He's my mentor, Dr. Whittemore. He's been in the ministry over 60 years. He's took me under his wing and mentored me all these years. He said, Brother Jones, he said, you know what you get to do? I said, what? He says, travel. I said, yeah, I know, and God pays for it. I said, that's amazing. I said, I've seen things that people dream of. I got to go places that people will write down on their bucket list, and God's allowed me to do it, and he's paid every dime of that. I says, it's amazing. Every year I come out, I drive her in the red, but we come out in the black somehow or another. I said, it's amazing. God gives good measure. I say, church, if you'll give to God in faith promise and your tithe and watch God do some things, he says, if you'll give, I'm going to give. But if you withhold, I'll withhold. Can I say there's that aspect of good measure? That's the liberal aspect of it. But look at the large of it. It says that superabundance. He says, not only will I give good measure, but look at what he says, press down. Press down. That word press down, it means as a grape. I mean, I appreciate the grapes. They're all gone. I think there might be one or two left. There are not many. But I was looking at them grapes when we put them in the refrigerator. And I ate one the other day and just sucked the goodie out of it. You ever done that? Just, man, it was good. That's what that press down means. It means to be pressed or retrieved, not just some of the juices, but all the juices. It has that meaning that God is going to give you everything with no waste. As much as possible will be given back to you. People have never experienced that in their life because you hold back from God. God just said a simple thing, just give. Then he says, I'll give in good measure. And he says, and boy, I'm going to press her down. I'm going to get everything out of that grape. He said, there's not going to be nothing left but the whole. And there, every juice that's in there, it's going to be given to you. That's the way God does. He says, give and it shall be given a good measure, pressed down. And watch what he says. Look at the length of this. Shaken together. I tell you, that word shaken together, I know we use it like chips. That you shake the bag and it goes down and it all settles down. But reality, it's more than that. Because it's the same amount. When you shake a bag of chips, it all goes down. It's the same amount. But what it means is that there is that to make more room for more. That's what it means when he says it'd be shaken together. Sometimes our lives are shaken a bit through trials. But may I say, when God shakes us, God's preparing us for a greater capacity to receive more of his blessings. God's making room. He's making the boundaries a little bit more to add more to you. And can I say, there's that press down. And then watch what he says. There's going to be the letting out, because not only is he going to make more room, he says, matter of fact, it's just going to run over. That word run over, it has that meaning overflowing. It has that meaning that you'll have more than enough. It's that just so much, and you know, there's a song saying, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup runneth over. I tell God a lot. I said, God, I want to drink from my saucer today. I don't want to drink from my cup. I mean, the old timers back at home, they would sup their where it was when their cup ran over, they would sup that plate. They go, because their cup runneth over. That's the way God will do us. God will say it'll run over, and you'll never drink from your cup because you'll have to sip it from the saucepan. I want to live that way. I want God to give me overabundance. I want that overflowing of God's side of it. And he says overrunning, he says that overflow. It was quoted this week, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able. And aren't you glad that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us? I want to experience that overabundance, that exceeding abundance of what God has. I want that in my life. And may I say, I have experienced a little bit of that by giving all these years. And I made the statement the other night, everything I've given to God, I've never missed. Why? Because it gives back. It's never empty. I mean, it's just amazing how God will give back to you. And he says, and watch what he says here in verse number 38. Shall men give into your bosom for the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. How's God going to give it back? Through people. I remember we were going through a tight time in our lives, and a bill was it was due, but and it was tight. And I paid our faith promise, I paid our tithes, and I had to go to a washroom. So I went into this establishment. I went into this little store, and I run in to use the restroom. And when I come back, there was a man standing there waiting on me. He said, "I've been looking for you for 2 weeks." I said, "I've been right here." He says, "God's put something on my heart." And he says, "I've been trying to find you." And he says, "All I know, here, it's yours. Thank you. I love you. God bless you." And he turned around and walked off. You know what it was? What we needed. The exact, I mean, down to the penny of what we needed for the bill that we had. That man had it. But God, I give to God. And God says, "You know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give. You give. I'm going to give good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall what? Men give into your bosom." A lot of times God will give to you through men. And I was talking to somebody here, won't tell who it was, and they were talking how much they love Faith Promise and want to do Faith Promise. And there were some circumstances in their lives that changed. And they did this. And God says, "That's a way you can get your Faith Promise." And this is what this individual said. They said that as I did that, then all of a sudden people started giving to me so I can do Faith Promise. Guess what you just lived? You just lived Luke 6, verse 38. God says, "Give," and then God says this. He says, I will give and shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal shall be measured to you again. God just give it back to you, and he used men to do it. You lived Luke 6, 38. You lived in the promises of God. Can I say to Harvest Baptist Church, and I know people don't like preachers talking about money, but it's in the Bible, and it's biblical. Wouldn't you like to live in the overabundance of God? That's what I want to live in. He says, "Shall men give unto you?" And God will lay it on you. God will give you more and you give to him. You'll never be a, God will be a, never will be a debtor to a giver. Never. And I thought about some people in the Bible that gave. You think about Ruth. Ruth, I love the book of Ruth. In the chapter number 2, she's in the field, she's gleaning. She just gets a little bit of barley, but Naomi, she said, where have you been? And Ruth said, well, I've been down in a man named Boaz's field, and oh, he's the next of kin. And then she tells her that, hey, you know, he's next of kin, and all the things that went down. And then she went down to the threshing floor, and the Bible says that she laid herself down at his feet. And the next morning, he said, open thy veil. When she opened her veil, he gives 6 measures of barley, which was way more than she got gleaning in that field. But what she did is she had to lay herself down for God to lay it on her. And she carried all that and said, now don't tell nobody. I've often wondered, how did Ruth hide that? Could you imagine? She said, now take that to Naomi. She went out full, came back empty. Take it to Naomi so that she can be full. I say, God, give back to her. Can I say, God will give back to you? I think about not only that, but Hannah. Hannah gave up Samuel, and then what did Hannah do? God visited her and gave her 5 more children. I think about others, 2 Corinthians, but this I say, he was sowed sparingly shall reap sparingly. Some of y'all, the reason you don't reap much, you don't sow much. But those that sow bountifully shall reap bountifully also. Can I say, if you want to receive a bunch from God, start sowing bountifully. When it comes to giving, you got to realize when you give to the Lord and others, you're investing with the Lord. He'll take care of your financial needs. He will genuinely, if you give, and I mean genuinely give, not to give to get. There's some people say, well, if I give, God's got to give to. That's a wrong attitude. But if you give with a true heart, what God has purposed in your heart, and you so let him give, God will make sure you're taken care of. He's watched that time and time again. And then, may I say, you don't give because you grudge it, but you give because God's nudged it with love and sacrifice. And I say to get to Luke 6:38, there's some things you need to have. You got to have love. You got to have mercy. You got to have forgiveness. If we don't have those 3 before we give, you're just giving because somebody made you to give. And I say the reason I give, it's not because my pastor stands over me. Can I tell you the reason? I don't give because my church stands over me. I give because I want to see people that God loves, for them to receive the mercy of God and the love of God. I want to see people all over this world get saved. There's some people probably here in this church service this morning. You're lost and undone without God. You need to be born again. But may I say, there's that aspect of giving. I wanted to warn you. Sinners do a lot of that. They love those that love them. They give to those that lend to them. They're good to those that are good to them. Can I say, but if we're going to be a child of God, we need to take it up another measure. God says, oh, if you're mine, you'll love your enemies. You'll be merciful to them, and you'll forgive them. And then he says, give. Without those 3, giving is just giving. But giving to see somebody saved and somebody born again, you'll watch God do things in your life like you've never seen. And God will give it back to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we love you, we thank you, and we honor you. Lord, we give you the glory as the pastor's coming. Lord, I pray that you'd touch the hearts of your people. Maybe there's somebody in here, Lord, they're struggling with loving their enemies. Maybe there's somebody here that's struggling with mercy in their life, of showing mercy to others. And maybe there's some here this morning, God, they just have an unforgiving heart, holding a grudge, bitterness, anger. Lord, they need to get those 3 things right before they ever put anything in that offering plate. So, Lord, if there is somebody here like that, couldn't give money because they despise a certain group of people, Lord, help us with that. Lord, when you come to seek and to save all that which was lost. Every nation, kindred, and tongue, you said, be in heaven. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this day to have that, and to give it. Lord, you said you'd give back. We sure do love you because you first loved us, and we ask in thy name, amen and amen. Let's be standing here this morning. The pastor's coming. Can I say, maybe there's somebody here this morning, you're struggling with that. Maybe you don't love your enemies. Why don't you come to the altar and say, God, let me love them like you love them. God, let me have that kind of compassion. Let me do good to them, not expecting anything in return. Maybe there's something in your heart that you're holding unforgiveness. Why don't you come and say, God, help me with this unforgiveness. God, let me show mercy to those that need mercy. Let me be honest this morning and says, preacher, that's me. I'm holding grudges. I've got hate instead of love. I've got judgment, condemnation instead of compassion. God, help me. Give. What are we to give? Forgiveness, love, mercy. You do that, money will follow. Always does. As the pastor comes.
So our piano plays this morning. If God spoke in your heart in any way this morning, you just respond and as the Lord spoke in your heart. And as our dear brother said today, my biggest concern as your pastor is, are you practicing goodness, love, forgiveness, and mercy toward others? Or is it treating others the way that they treat you? If all hearts or minds are clear, you can look this way. Brother Cena and Miss Karen, why don't you go ahead and come toward the front if you would. Let's see here. Is anybody out in the foyer? Ushers, please make sure there's an offering plate out there by the in the foyer on the table by the missionary screen. If you make sure there's an offering plate there, let me encourage you, if you've not turned in your faith promise card, again, no names go on there. It's a matter of what you're asking. God has spoke to your heart about giving. You mark that. Make sure you mark it clearly. If the number on there is what you want to give, you make sure you write it in and make sure you make it clear that if it's weekly or monthly or whether it's a one-time gift. So when we count, we can multiply the weekly by 52 or the monthly by 12. So we'll have a yearly amount or the one-time giving. Please mark that. You can just drop it in the offering plate, put it in upside down on the offering plate on the foyer on your way out. And tonight we'll do this again. When we take up an offering night, you can also, I'll be putting mine in tonight where you can just rip it off there before you keep it and put it in the offering plate on your way out. Or tonight when we take up our offering, if you're still praying about it, we'll do that again on Sunday for those that are still praying about what the Lord have you give. This is to help us to know our budget and what we can do for missions for the next 52 weeks, for the next year, is what it's all about, so we can know what to do about picking up more missionaries and helping with other missions projects. All right, I'm going to ask the missionaries to go ahead and make their way to their tables there just for a moment. You can greet them on their way out. I'm going to ask the Cena family, if they would, to come here toward the center. This is their last service for a little while. They're going to be traveling back to, they first came here as snowbirds, and they were residents, and now they're summerbirds. They're going to be fleeing here from the summer heat and going to Wisconsin, and so you pray for them. They'll be back later in the year, and so you pray for them. Make sure you go by and hug their neck, let you know how much you miss them. We're not saying goodbye. We're saying we'll see you later. We'll see you later, as I know we'll still hear from them. They'll be helping with some projects a long distance as well. Let's go before the Lord in prayer before we dismiss this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for the message this morning. Pray that you would help us, Lord, evaluate our own personal life in this area of giving. Are we giving goodness, love, mercy, grace? Are we practicing those things not only in our daily life, but also in our giving and our care for telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Meet the needs of your people. Bring us back safely tonight for our evening service. Bless our missionaries. Help us to be a help to them. And for we ask this in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.